Well, I've been talking about Nehemiah lessons in perseverance, and I want to just spend about even just really the next 20 minutes or so. Is that good? Y'all know it's good. It's all right. You can say yes. It's good. That's good, Pastor. 20 minutes would be really good. Hallelujah. I want to reference three passages of Scripture that I've read for the last week or so in this area of perseverance. Then I want to share just a few more thoughts around it and then pray over us and bless you to get out and enjoy the rest of your day. In Luke, the 8th chapter, starting at verse 11, it says this: "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." Jesus is sharing with them now the parable that, because they're trying to understand what this parable of the sower is about. It says, "Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in good soil," say good soil. No, just a little louder. Come on, good soil. Excuse me one second. "But the seed in good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold fast to it and bear fruit with perseverance." Bear fruit with perseverance. Say that. Bear fruit with perseverance. One more time. Bear fruit with. All right. Then Romans, the 5th chapter, 1 through 5, it says this: "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we extol in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also extol in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." And then lastly, Romans 15, 1 through 6. And it says this: "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, for his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.' For whatever was written in early times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I've been talking and using as an example Nehemiah. And the reason why I believe that this is appropriate for us as we talk about lessons of perseverance is because Nehemiah was one who was on assignment. He was working a job, and then he was moved by information that came to him, moved by compassion to do something. But one of the things we see is that even though he was working in a certain setting, he was in the right place at the right time. Meaning that even while he was serving where he was serving, there was something God was going to do later on. And he was in the right place in order to receive what he would need to fulfill that call and that purpose, the assignment that God had for him. One of the things that I talked about is that in Nehemiah's answer saying, yes, send me, he not only received everything he needed, but as he started out, he had to navigate through all of the things that you and I have to navigate through as well in our pursuit of the fulfillment of what God has called us to do. Nehemiah had to deal with opposition. Say opposition. And one of the lessons of perseverance is that you and I are able to push through opposition that comes to us once we begin to acknowledge and we begin to walk out what God has called us to do. It takes courage sometimes to even speak about it. How many of you would be honest enough to say, there's some things I've written down that I believe God wants to do in me and through me that's yet to be done? That's a good number of us. And I would simply ask you the question, why is it not done? Why have you not accomplished it? Now, some of it may be just not the right timing. But I want to submit also, sometimes it's not done because something along the way stopped us. Something along the way, or someone along the way, opposed us. And one of the things that Nehemiah had to totally rely on was what God said to him and his trust in God. His trust in God. The whole journey for Nehemiah was bathed in prayer. Nehemiah was a prayerful leader. He was a prayerful leader. I jokingly said he had to be a man of intercession to be the cupbearer. Because every time something was brought before him that he had to taste, if there was the expression of tongues back then, he probably went into the spirit to make sure he covered everything that needed to be covered about that food and whatever was going to be drunk, particularly if he was going to drink it first. But he was a man of faith as well. He was a man of faith. One of the things we see in this lesson of perseverance is Nehemiah had a courageous faith. Say courageous faith. Come on, say courageous faith. And what I mean by that is Nehemiah withstood the opposition and courageously continued to advance even while those that were opposing him seemed to get greater and greater. See, one of the things that happens for us as we begin to pursue in God is we have to manage everything that's going on around us that would adversely impact what he wants to do. Sometimes it's relational, meaning that the moment you head out and you're going that direction, stuff gets crazy in the family. Stuff gets crazy in marriage. Stuff gets crazy with your kids. Stuff gets crazy with your parents. Stuff gets crazy. And what happens is sometimes we allow those relationships to shut us down. We allow them to deter us because not everybody is going to understand what God is doing through you. Not everybody is going to support what God is doing through you. And unfortunately, there will be some who will just outright try to oppose it. But one of the things with the lack of understanding often comes a distraction, meaning that the moment you begin to walk that thing out, you gotta be able to assess, do I address this or do I leave it alone? And Nehemiah was wise enough to know as things came to him, he would pray about some things, he would speak to other things. You remember that in the scripture where it talks about as Jesus began his ministry. Remember how Jesus, when he began his ministry and his family heard about the things he was saying and the things that he was doing, that they sent word and said, go get Jesus and tell him to come to us. And remember, there were those that came to Jesus and said, your family wants to talk to you. And the reason why is because they were thinking something, he may be off. Because they really weren't understanding. Jesus didn't go back and talk to him. Nehemiah recognized some are going to get it, some aren't going to get it. You can only spend so much time getting people on board. Then you have to just say, Jameen, you'll see it when you see it. You can only speak so long trying to get people in line. Either they want to be or they don't. And if they want to be and they're not understanding it, understanding can come to them. But if they're not understanding and they really don't want to be on board, you'll spend all your time and all your energy, and before you know it, you've lost momentum. And Nehemiah knew he didn't have that kind of time because he had a king that he told, I'll be back in such and such time. But what Jesus did when they approached him and said, your family, your mother and your brothers, they want to talk to you. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? But he that doeth the will of the Father. What he was doing was he was putting it in its proper place in light of his purpose that would lead to his destiny. Now, hear me when I say this, because there are times when you have related to someone a certain way, and then later on you have to adjust that relationship. You have to adjust how you interact with them based on what God is doing in your life or what he's called you to do in this season of your life. Can I get just one amen? Bren, thank you. Okay, y'all hearing what I'm saying? See, one of the things that we can, if we're not careful, we can get okay with everybody doing nothing. We can get okay with status quo, but don't let somebody stand up with a vision or somebody stand up with a dream. That's what Nehemiah was contending with. Tobiah, Sambalat. And then as time went on, others gathered with them. See, the closer, listen to me, the closer you get to the fulfillment of your assignment, the greater the opposition may be. I'm going to say it again. The closer you get to the fulfillment of it, the more things can get stirred up. And you've got to be in a place where you know how to navigate through that when those times happen. Don't you recognize that the closer Jesus got to the cross, the lonelier his life became, and the greater the opposition all the way there. Listen to me. Don't think that they were beating him the way they beat him in order to stop him. It was the enemy, or to kill him, it was the enemy just trying to stop him from ever getting to the cross. Because as time went on, it became apparent who he was. As time goes on, it becomes apparent who you are. I'm going to say that again. The closer he got to Calvary, the more apparent it became who he was. As he walked and healed the sick and raised the dead, he didn't just talk it. He didn't talk it. He walked it. He did it, Bonnie. And everybody who saw it began to recognize. And the devil himself recognized it. That's why he was there in the wilderness for those 40 days, tempting him. But Jesus persevered. And it's the same dynamic with you and I. Jesus recognized those who he needed to relate to and others that he needed to let them stay right where they were. And for some of us, some of you under the sound of my voice, I want to tell you something. God is getting ready to, now, you got to hear this. God is getting ready to bring into your life some of the individuals to help in the fulfillment of what he's called you to do. And you must be sensitive to those moments when they happen. I find myself in different settings and different conversations. And I've learned in some settings just to show up, just be in the room, because it can just be one handshake, passing a one card to another, that later on you understand the connection that God is making. We would do well to be able to encourage each other and say, I'm praising God for what I see happening in your life, what he's doing through you. But I see more. But I see more. I see your gifts and how you're functioning, and I recognize that God is using you, but I see more, John. I see more, Toya. I see more. I see more. I see more. What are we doing? The scripture says encouraging one another to good works, provoking one another to good works. I believe Nehemiah, as he walked about that wall and they're building it, good job. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. I see the progress you're making. He's going over here and he's patting somebody. Good job. I see what you're doing. Keep up the good work. And he's going all over the wall, speaking and touching them, relating to everybody, because he knows that's what it's going to take to get this thing done. It's a courageous faith. A courageous faith. What do I mean by courageous faith? It's a faith that says, even though this is difficult, I will not lose heart. I will not lose heart. It's one thing to cast vision. It's a whole nother thing to begin to work it and make it happen. And one of the things that I believe with Nehemiah, one of the things I believe with God brings things to you and I, he only gives us part of it. He only gives us part of it. Because the truth be known, how many of you, again, would be honest enough to say that you launched out to do something, or maybe right now you committed to do something, and you're saying, man, this is taking more than I thought it would be. Is that just me? Come on, just wave your hand like this. Come on, y'all, work with me. Yeah. You ever just, how many of you say, you're there right now? I said, Lord, I'll do it. But my God, I didn't think it was going to be all this. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me. It's in that moment that you step into that place of a courageous faith and trust in God. I have said over and over, my definition of courage is the attitude of facing and dealing with anything perceived as dangerous, difficult, painful, or different, instead of withdrawing from it. Now hear me when I tell you, because here's our reality. I want to tell you, here's my reality. I am now beginning to feel the weight of responsibility of this embassy. I'm beginning to feel the weight of the responsibility. I was with Mike and Bryn this past week, and I think Mike asked me, was I excited? And I said, well, I don't know. I think it's tempered by the weight of responsibility. And some of you are in that same place. You said yes to something, but now it's the weight of the responsibility and all that it takes to do it. And for some reason, that when God speaks to us, he doesn't give us a list and says, this is what it's going to cost you. This is the price you're going to have to pay. Some years ago, I did a teaching called The Price of Hearing. I did an article called The Price of Hearing. The Price of Hearing. We want to hear God, but when it comes to responding to him, oftentimes it's a whole different place. And I likened it to, I used the example of going into a clothing store, and you have in your mind this beautiful dress, Georgia, that you want to buy. You're going to go somewhere special, and you're looking online. You see this dress, and you got it in your mind. You see yourself looking good in it, and you head out to the store, and you get to the store, and that dress is right there. It's on the rack. You see it from a distance. It's like a touched by an angel moment. It's like a light is shining on it. They got just one light exactly positioned on that dress. And you walk in, and when you walk in that door, it's like you hear, I mean, it's like, you know, that's your dress. And you start walking over there and you praising God. God, I thank you for blessing me. I thank you for it. Lord, you knew I wanted this dress. And I just thank you for it. And when you get over there and you look at that price tag, you say, oh, the devil is a liar. Because now the price ain't what you thought it was. It's going to cost you more. Come on, how many of y'all had them moments? Come on, we all have. You out shopping, see something you really like? Hallelujah. I remember I saw this hat one time, and I really liked the hat. I looked at that price. I put it back down. And then I thought I'd go back when the price went down. The price didn't go down, but thank God Pastor Marisa was in the store. I said, hey, check this hat for me. And when she saw the hat, she said, do you know that hat cost so-and-so, so-and-so? I said, what, really? I was playing. I knew what it cost, but I act like I didn't know because I didn't want her to know. I was really thinking about buying it at that price. But she ended up blessing me with it for a Christmas present. But my point is this. Hear me now. Well, I'm wrapping this up now. The point is that when you start to understand the weight of it, the cost of it, the price of it, that's not the time for you to stop. That's not the time for you to say, maybe I didn't hear God. That's not the time for you to say, I need to figure out something. It was in my heart to do, but I don't know about this now. It's the reality of what Galatians writes about in Galatians 10 and around verse 35, where it talks about casting not away your confidence. As a matter of fact, let me read this passage and we'll just finish out right here. But I'm finding myself, and I'm saying to many of you who are launching out, desiring to step out. You know God is calling you to do more. You know God is speaking to you. And some of you, you're already in the midst of it. And the enemy will do anything and everything that he can to block you and to stop you, to get you to back up off of it. Because he knows some things that you and I really don't see in the moment. He knows that if you stay the course, things are going to happen. He knows that if you stay the course, lives are going to be changed. He knows that if you stay the course, there's going to be breakthrough not only for you, but others that you come in contact with. He knows that if you and I stay the course, God will accomplish his plans and purposes. It's in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. I'm reading from the Message Bible, verse 32. It says, remember those early days after you first saw the light, when you first got the vision, when you first got the dream, when you first got the call? I'm called to pastor. I'm called to pastor. I'm called to pastor. Hey, you might want to check that. I'm called to be an apostle. I'm called to be. You really want to check that. You need to read the scriptures and see what happened. I'm called to be a prophet. I'm called to be a prophet. You better check that. Because the moment you say yes and it really is God, comes all that comes with it. That's a part of your forming, a part of your shaping, a part of your development. None of us, when we get the call, are the ones who fulfill the call. None of us who get the call are the ones who fulfill the call. All that I'm endeavoring to do right now has been 20, almost 40 years in the making. Now, we just say that number, and we go like, man, that's a long time. But look, God works with those numbers all the time. Friend, you know that. He works with those numbers all the time. Moses was on the backside of the desert how long, y'all? How long? So quit acting like you all old and grayed up and can't get anything done now. You in the prime of your life. Hey, y'all better act like I'm saying something worth hearing. Come on, I'm in the prime of my life. Prime of your life. God has no problem with the time. So remember those early days after you first saw the light. Those were the hard times, kicked around in public, targets of every kind of abuse. Some days it was you, other days your friends. If some friends went to prison, you stuck by them. Next one. If some enemies broke in and seized your goods, you let them go with a smile. Ooh. Knowing they couldn't touch your real treasure, nothing they did bothered you. Nothing set you back. So don't throw it all away now. I'm talking to you. Don't throw it all away now. Don't throw it all away now. We're going to get that prophetic word that earlier said. We're going to get that. I need to get a copy of that. We're going to get that out to you. We're going to send it to you because in that word is the encouragement you need. In that word is the encouragement that you need. Nehemiah stayed the course. Nehemiah stayed the course. Nehemiah stayed focused. Cast not away your confidence. That's what it's saying. Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, but you have need of patience. Once the excitement wears off and the soberness sets in of your assignment, I need some of you to really hear me now. That's when the grace really kicks in. That's when the grace really kicks in. All the grace you would ever need is available to you. But these are sober times. Yes, praise and worship is wonderful. But there's a level of discipline in this as well. And God is calling you and I to that next place. No more manna. Now you're going to possess. No more manna. Now we are going to possess. I want to stir up in some of you that you need to take on the attitude, this is not enough, and this is not God's best. Yeah. Yeah. This is not enough, and this is not God's best. Can I tell you this? And we're done. The only thing that stands between you and his best becoming your reality is you. Own it. Own it. Own it. Own it. Own it. Own it. You own it. And God will do the rest.